What kind of insurance is right for me? Am I covered properly? What is a personal umbrella? Can I rebuild my house if it burns? Welcome to Peace of Mind, the radio show that helps you navigate through the complexities of the world of insurance. Brought to you by More Insurance Services, Mountain Insurance in Murphy and Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge. And now your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind. Today's show is going to be, should I let someone else drive my vehicle? What do you think, Kathy?
No, no, no.
What do you think, Mandy?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You'd be careful with that.
You loan your car, you loan your insurance.
Yes. So I want to acknowledge, last night was, the show's pre-recorded, and we had a really bad outbreak last night of tornadoes, and that's right up our alley, so to speak. So we've got... That's what we do. We insure people, and windstorm is one of our primary claims that we do have here. I think we're very blessed where we live. Tornadoes can happen here, but they're not as prevalent as they are, say, over the mount from us in Helen, or maybe Bartow County seems to be like tornado central. It's always Gainesville. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, Kathy, we've talked about before, is a survivor of a tornado. And mm-hmm. She has been there in that moment where she hears the storm coming and she had to run for cover.
Right.
So that was, how old were you, Kathy, when it happened? Probably 20-something?
20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you been the same since then?
Well, I look at it differently.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. She's definitely...
We were in the basement last night, put it that way.
Yeah. And in Florida, there is no basement, so you don't have a basement.
We slept in the basement last night.
Yeah. So, it's very sad about people lost their lives. There were 23 tornadoes that... hit Alabama and also over in western Georgia, I think around where Alan Jackson's from. Mm-hmm. So, you think about all the tornadoes there have been. How many tornadoes do you think on record, say in the 1900s, have hit this country? There's thousands and thousands and thousands. Mm-hmm. You think about every year. Yesterday there were 23. So, would you believe that on record, the number five worst tornado hit, guess where? You guys know?
Gainesville.
Yeah, the Gainesville tornado of 1936. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So it's kind of amazing, you think about every tornado that's ever been on record, and that's number five in the entire country.
Wow.
So what happened was in 1936, it started out in Tupelo, and it started out as an F5, and it was a kind of an unusual one because it stayed on the ground for so long. There were 454 fatalities in Tupelo. So the storm moved east, and it was said in the records here that winds were so strong that pine needles were embedded into the trunks of trees. So you think about like a F5, ripping through your town. In those days, in 1936, there wasn't any kind of warning system. And people were just sitting there one day, and here comes a storm. That same storm system ended up going to Gainesville, Georgia, and it hit as a F4 tornado. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Kathy just read the what happened here about with the tornado. This is off of Wikipedia. Anybody can go ahead and read it. But go ahead and let the listeners, read what it says on the break here. Can you not read it? Yes, right there.
Where you want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay. So, after producing the Tupelo tornado, the storm system moved through Alabama overnight and reached Gainesville, Georgia at around 8:30 a.m. This early morning tornado was a double tornado event. One tornado moved into from Atlanta Highway, while the other moved in from Dawsonville Highway. The two merged on Grove Street and destroyed everything throughout the downtown area, causing wreckage to pile 10 feet in some places.
Have you ever seen the pictures of this before?
No.
You can Google it. Yeah, see, people always don't remember this.
Death toll in a single building in U.S. history was the Copper Pants Factory. The multiple-story building was filled with young workers who had arrived to work. The structure collapsed and caught fire, killing about 70 people. And then they had another mill that had 550 workers moved to the northeast side of the building and survived. Many people sought refuge in Newman's department store. Its collapse killed 20 persons. In addition to the complete destruction that occurred throughout downtown Gainesville, residential areas throughout the city was devastated as well. There were 750 homes were destroyed and 254 others were badly damaged. The final death toll could not be calculated because many of the buildings that were hit collapsed and caught fire. A death toll of 203 people was posted. Through the time, 40 people were yet missing. So this is quite a story.
Yeah, so I mean, I wonder how many people, I mean, nobody's going to remember that around here. Also, as a side note, you know it's bad when the President of the United States shows up. So FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, showed up and spoke from a train platform in Gainesville, Georgia, on April 9th after a devastating tornado struck the town. So it was a really big deal.
A long time ago.
It was a long time ago. You know, my dad's 88. He told me he remembers his dad, my grandfather, went down to Gainesville, and they saw the damages and maybe worked down there to try to, you know, I'm sure the cleanup cost was just unbelievable.
Well, there was one that hit in Helen a couple of years back, and there was a lot of devastation. Yeah. A lot of trees. You could see the trees that had gone through the forest.
Well, the one, remember the time that we went, Kathy insured a restaurant down Lake Burton, mm-hmm. and we had one came out of Alabama, mm-hmm. and it hit, is that really, really bad one in Alabama? Like, it was right there. And it came over here.
There's a lot in Alabama.
Bad. Yeah, it ran through, it rolled on through Helen and went over the mountain to Lake Burton. Mm-hmm. Remember driving over there, Kathy?
Yeah, it was eerie.
The trees are just, I don't know how I guess they cleared the road time I got there, but it was just like, the trees were like toothpicks. And it was just all in the lake. And it was surprising that, you know, the way tornadoes work is that particular restaurant, I don't believe there's any damage, was there?
No, it was. They just couldn't get to the restaurant. That was the issue.
Yeah, Kathy filed a claim on it, and
the electric was off.
Without even seeing what it was, right. And it turned out to be a non-event because I think they lost their power and
they had spoilage and stuff like that.
Yeah, for their foods.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, here we are. You know, this is tornado season. You know, the cost of building materials is going to go up after this in Alabama.
They're already going up.
And I'm sure. So. Like, it was already hard to find a contractor in the first place. And now you've had a catastrophe like this, and, you know, there's going to be even more demand for build materials and contractors and, you know, cleanup crews. We've had a lot of people a lot of times. Remember when we had Hurricane Katrina, there were people from here that left and went down to work in, you know, the Katrina cleanup.
Correct.
So, mm-hmm. anyway, what a pity. And you just got to be aware of, you know, I guarantee you guys there's going to be somebody out there that didn't have the right coverage. Somebody's going to be underinsured. Somebody's insurance could be potentially lapsed. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of things that's going to arise out of this storm that's going to be bad. And hopefully what will arise is some good experiences, too. Like, people will get their house back. People will be able to rebuild because the insurance was there to help them out in a time like this. They're going to send in what's called a CAT adjuster. How it'll work is a CAT stands for catastrophe. And the adjuster team will come into these areas, and they'll start working claims. And that's the way it's going to be. So anyway, shifting gears over, I guess that was kind of introduction, you know, just looking at things that happened today or this week, you know, having the outbreak in Georgia, talking about, you know, the history of what's happened in Georgia with having the number 5 worst tornado ever to hit the country in Gainesville. You know, it can happen again. I mean, we've seen storms come through. The fact that two tornadoes actually merged into one is kind of scary. I mean, it's like they run into each other. So anyway, driving a vehicle. We're going to have a story today about some disasters where people have let somebody else drive their vehicle. Mm-hmm. And as Kathy said before, you know, when you loan that car out to somebody else, it's called a permissive user, which means you gave them permission to drive your vehicle. So when you give them those keys and give them permission, you also just loan them your insurance policy.
Correct.
And also, the liability for that is going to fall back on your insurance policy. So after the break, I guess we can talk some more about this. We have a minute left here. I don't really want to start the story until after the break. But we have had a lot of times where somebody ends up driving a vehicle that we didn't know about,
yes.
correct?
Yes, that yeah. happens a lot, actually.
Yeah, or somebody has let somebody else drive their vehicle.
Right.
I remember, who's the worst age group for this happening, guys?
Young teenagers. Young girls and boys that are newly drivers, yes.
Yes. Did you ever let some guy drive your car?
No, actually I didn't.
How about you, Mandy?
Yeah.
You did?
I did. Yeah.
Well, if it was Craig Sosby, I think it's okay. He's responsible.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. But, you know, every day there's some kind of kids going to let somebody drive their car. it's just not a good idea. How do you get out of that? I mean, how do you say no sometimes? I mean, it can be very difficult. I remember being, you know, I had a guy on my team that was older, and he's cool. I mean, I'm the younger kid, and he's an older kid. He wants to drive my truck. I let him drive my truck. He's like, well, let's see how this thing handles. So we went around the curves going pretty fast. I mean, thank God nothing happened, but I did that. You know, it was not something I felt obligated to do it because I'm the younger kid and he's the older kid, you know. So after the break, we will talk some more about this and give you a couple disaster stories about this. So this is Mark Moore, Kathy Moore, and Manny Sozi on WJRB Talk of the Mountains.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind, here to help you find out if you need more insurance. Once again, your hosts, Mark and Kathy Moore with More Insurance.
Welcome back. This is Kathy Moore with my husband, Mark Moore, and our assistant manager for Hayesville, Mandy Sosby. Wanted to let you know where we're located. More Insurance Services is located in Hayesville, next to United Community Bank, Hiawassee, next to the hospital, and Blairsville, next across the street from Home Depot. You can find us online at www.more-insurance.com, or, of course, we're on Facebook, so please like us. Also, we have two other locations. Mountain Insurance is a division of More Insurance. It's located in Murphy, North Carolina, past Arby's on Highway 64 West. And Mountain Insurance of Blue Ridge is located between United Community Bank and Burger King in Blue Ridge. So please like us on Facebook, and please check us out online. We have websites for you to ask for quotes. So come by and ask for a free quote.
Thank you. So I'm kind of interested in talking to Cable about letting other guys drive your car. And okay. So you were a real responsible kid, and well, you actually had a
very strict father. That's why. Yeah.
I was kind of scared of their father.
Yeah. My dad, everyone was scared of my dad. Scared of my dad.
Well, the time I came around, he was like ready to, you know, he was like, you were 31 and I was 31. And I told him, I said, it's like making your last car payment. He said, oh, it's way better than that. So it's all you now.
Yeah.
But anyway, Kathy didn't have to work because she was responsible.
I was very responsible, yes.
And you actually paid for your insurance, didn't you?
I did, and my car. Yes, I did.
So that was very good. So I think if a kid pays for their car and the insurance, they're going to have more of a vested interest, skin in the game, if you will.
Yes.
To protect that car and have some pride in what you're doing.
Yes, because you don't want your insurance to go up.
Yeah. I think, Mandy, you're a millennial, correct? Is that the right term?
She is.
So I don't know if Mandy will remember this, but and Kathy will kind of know, but what did kids our age do back in the 80s? What did you do as far as
like went to the mall.
Well, you went to the mall, but up here we did. we would go cruising.
Yeah, you guys cruise at Murphy.
You ever heard of that? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what they do now. I guess they get on their smartphones.
Well, we cruise down the, at like the beach, too.
They text.
So.
Yeah, so Kathy's friend had her mom had a Corvette.
Yes, with T-tops. Yes.
And
we cruise Colorado Beach.
I'm sure that Kathy and her blonde little friend, and she was a blonde girl.
Yes.
Cruising down the Corvette.
It was nice.
I'm sure people were interested in you. So
fast. The car was fast.
So that was the cruising. So I had friends had a nitro and stuff in their car, and you know, it's just it was a thing. I had one friend that was trying to outrun the law, state trooper over in Andrews, and he outrun him. And so he couldn't figure out the state trooper. He went up a driveway, shut all his lights off, and he beat him. And the cop just really, really slowly comes down the road, comes up the driveway, and parks right behind him. And he knocks on the window and goes, "You can take your foot off the brake now," because the taillights were on. he couldn't figure out how he got him.
Yeah, he got him, but, right.
So I had a basketball coach that a lot of people know, and I respect this man more than you'd ever know. But he said a very profound statement. He said, "A man is not very smart until he's about 25 years old. Doesn't have much sense."
So true.
Then after he's 25 years old, he still didn't have a whole lot of sense.
That's what
he said. So the things you do as a child, as a kid, it's not necessarily the girls, but I think some of these, you know, men or young men, the things that have happened in a car are very dangerous. Some of my buddies I used to play with in sports, we'd go out and, you know, I was actually kind of the old person driver. I never was like a reckless driver. I guess the insurance was coming up in me.
Because you have family insurance.
However, grandfather
and uncle and.
Yeah. One of my friends had like 20 something different tickets. He was. Yeah. You know him today.
I know he is.
Is he hopper today?
Oh, yeah. He's
Would you drive with him?
No, I would not.
No.
No, I would not.
And he insists he's a great driver. Like he's always, I'm a good driver. Like, no, you're not. Your record indicates that you're not
a
good driver.
Think so.
Yeah. He used to like play chicken with people. Like he's going to try to pretend to hit him, and he actually hit his cousin's car.
Are you going to talk about that story?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway, back to kids. We have a very, and I got permission to tell this story.
And we're not using names.
A lot of times these stories are very personal, and you don't want to. So what you got here is a responsible young lady.
Yes.
A straight A student.
Right.
She's awesome. I mean, she's a good athlete. Everything's great about her. You know, she's got scholarships to go to college. She's working hard. She's a fantastic, what you want to see a young person.
Mm-hmm.
She's responsible. And she was coming home and ended up, well, I'm understanding, got the flu.
Yes.
And the story was that
she was sick.
She couldn't really drive herself home because she was so sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Good Samaritan college people come.
Her boyfriend came.
Yeah. So they helped her. They took her home. And, you know, well, now we've got an obligation to, you know, next time they come around, they want to borrow her car, which actually is not.
She was still sick then, I think, too.
Well, this is later.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually not her car, it's old dad's car. And so she feels obligated because they had helped her out when she was sick to let them borrow the car. Well, they're going 5 miles down the road, supposedly. Well, where did the car end up? How far away would they say it was?
In Atlanta.
Yeah. And that was a couple hours, about an hour or so away.
Yeah. Yes.
And what happened?
They were in a car accident.
Yep. And so my friend is still dealing with this.
It's been several years.
2 years, and it's still going on.
Yes.
And there's just you know, that one decision. I can see how it happened. I can see how it happened. Old dad had to give up one of his cars to give to his daughter, and now he has to find a vehicle. And, you know, she's having to deal with this.
I'm going to go to court.
Yeah.
Because the person, talk about the accident, what happened in the accident.
Well, it's unclear because he didn't know how bad the damages were. But there's an attorney that's going after this insurance policy.
Right.
All this could have been avoided by not loaning your car out.
Correct.
So it was a permissive user, which means they had permission to.
But he was supposed to drive like across
5 miles what, down the
five
road.
5 miles down the road.
Yeah. Maybe made a good point. It's like, why didn't she just drive? Well, maybe she's in class. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, here's the keys. And that can be very costly to.
Your parents. You
know, yeah, to your parents. You can lose discounts on your insurance. You might get your insurance canceled. I've had situations where, you know, this was over in North Carolina. I actually had my grandson used a car for a day and he had an accident. It wasn't a bad accident,
right.
But they still had to go to court and everything else. It's just not a situation that you want to, if I screw something up, I want to be the one that did it. You know, I want to have somebody else screw something up and then I'm the one that had to pay for somebody else.
Right.
But that's exactly what can happen when you loan your car. And nowadays, if you have a child, when that older guy, the cool older guy wanted to borrow my truck, is I let him do that. But today, a kid could call your dad. So,
right.
You know, that could have got me out of that without feeling like peer pressure. If I could have said, hey, let me call my dad and see what he thinks. And dad would have said no.
Right.
So the answer is no.
Right.
So you got to be very careful because you don't want to be liable for somebody else and or have your insurance be affected because of somebody else's negligence. So another thing is I want to talk about is what we call the company car exclusion. So sometimes a business will have a employee that takes a vehicle home with them. And one of the ones I thought about here, like the EMC workers.
Okay.
I mean, right now they're out there working. They're having to fix all this storm damage. But let's say that you take your EMC truck home. Well, the EMC's got insurance, so you know, if I get an accident, that's going to be on the EMC, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not necessarily the case.
Right.
And it could be any employer, not just the EMC. You know, it could be, say, we have a salesperson we give a car to. You've got to have permission to use the vehicle or there is no coverage. You can't. It's got to be a permissive user.
So if someone's going to someplace other than, like, taking it to the mail, like the post office, and they veer off and go somewhere that you didn't know where they're going, then there's no coverage for that.
Yeah, Kathy's speaking from experience.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, nothing happened in our business, fortunately.
Thankfully.
But we had a car that was going other places. So the thing about it is, the claim example that I found was there was some kid that decided just to take the keys to a company car. And they were going to buy something at the store. It says, Melinda has recently obtained a driver's license and is an insured driver under her father's policy. Carla has been forbidden from driving the Ford under any circumstances. Well, what happened was the car was taken. and there was an accident. The plummet, the place, the company on the car, their insurance policy denied coverage because there was no permission given to use the car. The father's personal auto policy has got an exclusion, which we call the company car exclusion. And it says, we do not provide liability coverage for the ownership, maintenance, use of any vehicle which is furnished or available for your regular use. So on next time's show, we will talk some more about this. But just be very aware about who's driving your car, if they have permission to drive your car, and just be careful out there when you make that decision. Again, this is Mark Moore, Kathy Moore, Manny Sosby on WJRB Talk of the Mountains.
Statements on this show as to policies and coverages and other content provide general information only, and no warranties are provided as to their accuracy. Listeners should consult with their licensed agent as to how these coverages pertain to their individual situation. Information provided on this show does not constitute professional advice. If you have insurance, legal, tax, or financial planning questions, you need to contact your qualified professional. All coverages are subject to the terms, conditions, and exclusions of the actual policy issued. Not all policies or coverages are available in every state.